right now. Rick Horro is our Sports Business Insider from with us here at Sheeman & Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN with Horro Business Ventures. And Rick, we welcome you back from the Super Bowl. How do things go?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. Things went well. Obviously, from Shepherd's perspective, they went really well. A lot of people lamented on Monday that it was boring. You know, boring to me is just shows that you don't, you know, like a defensive game. I think the whole event was brilliantly staged. I don't care that we had 2 or 3 million people not watch compared to the year before. I think they were watching, just watching different devices that weren't measured. So, you know, much ado about nothing as it relates to the NFL. And frankly, though, I couldn't get out of there quick enough. It's just I'm too old for some of the stuff that goes on. But it was fun. I had a meeting in Tallahassee. It was a four-hour drive. So it was fun driving down to Tallahassee out of town and seeing that massive backup on I-75 with rental cars being, you know, pulled off the road to get to Hartsfield Airport and people missing their flights. And I'm thinking, thank God it wasn't me.
Yeah. How long did it take you, Rick, to get out? What time did you leave? Did you stay right to the very end? And if you did, how long did it take you to get from where you were to your car?
Yeah, no, I stayed till the end and got, you know, into a special place because I went to the tailgate. So, you know, from the end of the game, it was easy to get back to Midtown Atlanta. The next day, driving out of town, it was fun because everybody else. I'm sure getting back to respective hotels had been 2 a.m, and then people that had like 8 o'clock flights probably had to leave at like 4 to get there. So, wow. But they're all home, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Rick, I thought the highlight of the Super Bowl wasn't the game or the halftime show, but and you'd probably, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it online. Obviously, you were there, so you didn't see it on TV live, but the NFL 100, the celebration of their 100 years, the two-minute commercial they did, had all the big stars of the NFL over the last 6 decades. It was hilarious. It was well done. It took like 3 days to shoot, to get everybody in there to do this commercial. How does that work with the NFL? Because 2 minutes of Super Bowl time is worth about $20 million for CBS. Was that part of a trade barter, most likely, to put that spot on the air?
Well, yeah, but it's, you know, cost from CBS's perspective. They don't kind of really care what it is as long as it satisfies certain standards. They care that it gets paid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way it was all set up, whether cash changes and change back, I'm not really sure. But I do know that at the end of the day, the NFL paid a pretty penny for the spot that effectively kicked off next season and the 100th anniversary. So, you know, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Rick, I also read that a lot of people now who don't have cable, whatever, they're using Roku devices or the, you know, Google device or the stick, anything, streaming devices. And from what I was reading, CBS streaming, if you're streaming it not off regular cable or whatever, you missed the last 4 minutes and 48 seconds, and the streaming was going in and out the entire game, frustrated millions of people, I guess. And how costly would that be for the network?
Yeah, goodwill-wise, certainly. Yeah. And, you know, streaming is, everybody gives up something if they get it for free. It was advertised for free, so there are a lot of people at the end of the day who will say that we would rather pick at a game on the networks normally than streaming it. But then that's part of measurement. It's part of working things out long term. We're going to have that are going to work. They're going to be measured. And at the end of the day, we're going to have apples to apples. I don't believe it's 103 million and everybody's saying profit of doom. People didn't watch it as much. The ratings went down. People are watching in different places, and this is what happens.
Mm-hmm. Rick, I'm assuming the NFL did its usual business on merchandise. Pete Shepherd today is donning his brand-new Patriots championship hat, which I've had to annoyingly look at all day. But
it's a great-looking hat.
Business as usual.
It's the all-gray one. It's the all-charcoal one. It's a beautiful hat.
You know what they formed, like the B-listers?
Yeah.
They took the hats from last year's game against the Eagles that they lost, and they just X'd over them, and they were hoping that people like Shepherd wouldn't notice.
I actually thought about it, but I didn't like the other ones with the white bill. And I wasn't crazy about 2 years ago with the leather kind of bill and the, I don't know, that, but, you know, who knows? I can't keep track.
Yeah, well, look, you and everybody else bought them. People from New England, they just just think what we're talking about. 6-18. It still hasn't sunk in after.
Oops.
Yep.
Rick's phone
there,
was.
There blank. He went.
I could tell it was going.
There he went.
Why'd you bring up the Patriots, Pete?
Yeah, that's Pete's fault.
I did not. Craig brought it up.
I'll call him back.
Craig brought it
up. I'll call him back in a second, but comparing your Super Bowl hats, not a good look.
No, I did it on purpose because it annoys you.
Yeah, exactly.
But once again, I did not bring it up.
You're right. I did. All right. Rick is back. His phone is back. Rick, welcome back. All right. I think we were talking about Pete's ugly hat. But
no, it's a beautiful
hat. We were talking about that, and then I segued into a dynasty of 6-18, and, you know, I guess the world, the baseball world mourns the death of Frank Robinson today.
Yeah.
And I continue to look back. You know, that team with Brooks and those guys back in the non-free agent era in the early 70s, you know, those are iconic teams. Ripken came after it. I'm suggesting a broader theme here that I wasn't around for Babe Ruth, and, you know, a lot of people aren't around for Tigers' heyday, Jack Nicklaus's day. When you have a dynasty like this one, don't start talking about whether it's the best of all time or who's the best wide receiver or who deserved the MVP. Just shut up and enjoy it. I mean, this is unbelievable.
I agree. But just real quick about Frank Robinson, if there is such a statement, is he the most underrated Hall of Famer of all time? I mean, the guy won MVP in both leagues, first African-American manager, despite not to mention all the great numbers he put up. But do you think he's underrated as for his accomplishments?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, we're going to now have eulogies and we'll have people respect. And maybe this will create some thought about his contribution to the game. You know, the league office guy and people in the league office realized how important he was as well. Let's just hope that over the next week or so, people in baseball remember that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, as long as we're talking about baseball, is Bryce Harper going to get a deal before the first game? I mean, I guess now he's meeting with the Giants, but he and Manny Machado, no deal. Pitchers and catchers report in days. It's been really interesting how this has been developing.
You know, that's happened the last couple of years, but nobody at this level, obviously. And so now we talk about collusion. Is it too much? Well, it's not. It's not collusion. It's, listen, if I'm not going to spend $300 billion, it's going to take me a little while. And maybe the general managers are realizing, you know, he's not in that much demand at that price point.
Mm-hmm.
And if Scott Boras continues to insist on $300 million, then, you know, he may not get a deal overnight. So he'll play. Look, we're not going to hold a bake sale for Bryce Harper. He'll play somewhere.
Exactly.
That's for damn sure.
Rick, let me ask you this. Because LeVar Ball was a big topic of discussion today because what he said this morning you know, on Fox with Shannon Sharpe and not so much Bayless. But stupid things about his son being better than LeVar, everything else. But we got into a discussion from a business standpoint as far as, you know, the Instagram feed, the followers that not just Lonzo, but LiAngelo and LaMelo have, yeah, blah, 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 blah. If you had, right now at least, do you think it would be wise for anyone to invest their business into the Ball family at all, even if they put it on their Instagram or anything like that? Or was LeVar Ball, because of his ridiculous quotes and interviews, is that hurting? Would that hurt the business?
It's a traveling circus, and it's uncontrollable. And I'm not sure, you know, if he is, he's outspoken and people follow him, which is really kind of nice, but that doesn't automatically translate into corporate support. It's unfortunate that he's probably leaving a lot of corporate dollars and the stability that follows on the table because of his dad's antics. So I'll just say that. And,
yeah.
And you know, you never know what you don't get because the phone calls don't ring.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rick, for about a year I've been hearing about your new book supposed to come out in February. It's now February. Are we still on schedule? And where's my signed copy?
February 26th. You'll get it February 26th or so.
Okay.
100 of the industry leaders, 50 years of the sports business, Tagliabue, Steve Ross, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Bettman, Don Shula, Don Garber, Tony Ponturo, Cal Ripken, cast of hundreds.
Wow.
And Amazon, I'm going to do some promotion of the book in South Southwest Florida, talk to Dickie V. Maybe we can do something together at his gala. That would be kind of cool.
That'd be very cool.
It'll come out February 26th. I'll send you. It used to be we just called people. Then we had press releases. Now we have EPKs, electronic press kit. I have no idea what that means. Except just buy the book. Well, I'll send it to you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to promote it. Actually, if you didn't say anything this week, you'd ask me anything next week, and I would have led with this. And I'm going to continue to lead with it through the rest of your life.
That sounds good. Awesome. Does Oprah know about this? I hear she's good at getting books out.
Oprah's upset because I turned her down. She was going to write a chapter.
Oh, okay.
Hey, right. Last question for me. The Alliance of American Football, the AAF, or the Alliance, begins this weekend. I don't know what your relationship is with Charlie Ebersole. You probably have one with Bill Polian. If they came to you and asked you to invest, would you? Is it a good idea, and do you think it's going to succeed?
Depending on what the number is. I mean, I think it's probably a good idea to play in this space a little bit. But now you see the interesting thing is, I saw a few articles this week, and the rhetoric is not, will they succeed, but the rhetoric is, we're a year ahead of the XFL. We have Bob Stoops going to Dallas, but the Alliance has a year ahead. So if the articles are about which one has a better chance of succeeding, it's a lot different than the XFL coming out last time and saying there's no chance of it succeeding. So we'll see. I'm kind of anxious to believe it or not, watch the game on Saturday night.
Me too.
Not because I have nothing to do, but Duke Virginia's at 6, and then, mm-hmm. you know, that game's over. What else do you watch?
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think we'll be right there with you. All right, Rick, have a good week. We'll promote your book further next week and the week after that and so on and so forth. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Rick.
And you get a signed copy, and you and Shepard fight over it.
Okay, sounds good. I appreciate it. That's Rick Horro, our sports business guru, book coming out. But we talk to him each and every week at this time with the interesting businesses side of sports.